Well, good morning, everybody. Now, before we get started, just a reminder for the youth group that your two-part sermon worksheet challenge begins this week. So it's this week and next week. Get the worksheet from the youth webpage. You can download it there from the church site. If you can fill them both in well, send them to me. We'll give a little prize. And, of course, if you like to take notes to follow along, any age you might find that worksheet helpful, please feel free to help yourself. Now, this morning, we continue working our way through the grace acrostic. This is made up of our core values. So far, we've looked at growth, and we've looked at relationships. This week and next week, we're going to be looking at adoration, or heartfelt worship. Now, when you hear the word worship, as long as I don't mangle it for you, when you hear the word worship, maybe you even want to pause the video and think about this, or maybe you saw the video earlier in the week and you've already thought about this. But when you think about worship, what comes to mind? If you needed to define worship, how would you define it? It can be a little bit tricky. As I was reading through different books and articles, I quickly discovered that the different authors would have different ideas and concepts about what they thought worship was. So I think it's a little bit helpful if we all have the same general idea as we spend a little bit of time together this morning. I want to read to you a definition that I think captures the essence of worship. This definition comes from Louis Giglio, and some of you may be familiar with some of his work. He writes, "Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God, for who he is and for what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live." I think this is a good framework. I want you to keep it in the back of your mind as we spend a little bit more time together. Now let's turn to scriptures. When you think of worship, what's the first Bible verses, what's the first Bible story that comes to your mind? It probably isn't Mary and Martha in Luke 10, but that's where we're going to start. So Jesus is going to go over to Mary and Martha's house. Martha is given the invitation. She's busy making the preparations. I imagine she's cleaned up the house and she's preparing the meal for when Jesus arrives. Now, meanwhile, Jesus has arrived and Mary, Martha's sister, isn't helping. Instead, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Both sisters in this text are engaged in an act of worship. Mary recognizes that this is the time to sit in the presence of Jesus, and so she sits at his feet. But Martha, through her hospitality, through her service, through her everyday living, is offering up worship too. Jesus tells her, "Come on, come here, relax, come be in my presence." There's a time to worship in a way where we use our skills, where we work, where we live out our life to reflect the love, glory, and hope in God. And there's a time to worship by stopping and coming into the presence of God and sitting down at God's feet. So we have two forms of worship, and we're going to give them some fancy names. I won't leave you in suspense. Their names are horizontal worship. That's what I'm calling our worship as we live out our life. As we go about our daily activities, as we rub shoulders with people 6 feet apart, we need to reflect the love and the glory of God to the world. That's horizontal worship. Then there's vertical worship. This is when we intentionally come into the presence of God and we offer up our worship vertically. Me to God, you to God, us to God. Today our focus is on horizontal worship. And then next week, we're going to look at vertical worship. Now, no matter how you slice it, whether we're looking at it horizontally or vertically, worship matters. God is worthy of all praise. God is at the center of everything. God is above all. God is creator, originator, sustainer, life giver, room maker. We discover in the pages of the Bible that God dwells in endless praise. Worship matters. That's why it's one of our core values. And worship happens all the time. Everybody in this city right now is engaged in worship. They are making decisions based on their values, based on what's important to them. Now, we use a lot of sports references here, and so apologies to you non-sports enthusiasts, but the sports world really does provide us a great example of this. If things were normal, we'd be well into the NHL and NBA playoffs right now. And all over the place, people would gather in arenas. They would gather outside arenas just to watch it on a TV. They'd gather in bars or restaurants. They'd gather in living rooms. They would alter their sleep schedules. They would alter the food that they eat or the clothes that they'd wear. They'd sit on the edge of their seat, jump out of their seat. They'd be so invested. They would care so much. There would be tears of victory. And for King and the Leafs, there would be tears of heartache. What would you call that? Well, I would call that my one per sermon, but I'd also call it worship. Worship completely devoid of God, but it's still worship, because worship happens all the time. Humanity is actually made up of amazing worshipers. Throughout history, our timeline is littered with trillions of idols. Society today is littered with idols. Everybody has an altar. Everybody has a throne. If you want to know where yours is, all you need to do is follow the trail of your time. Matthew 6:21 says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you spend your time, that's your treasure, that's your altar. Nobody says, I worship Netflix, or I worship my business, or I worship music, and they may mean that, but the time trail never lies. Where do you spend your time? In Acts 17, Paul is in Athens and he finds that the city is full of idols. He even discovers something pretty interesting. He discovers that the city is so full of idols that they even have one for the unknown God in verse 23. They wanted to have all their bases covered just in case, right? Maybe we're missing one, so we better have one to the unknown God. Did Athens lack worship? No. Not at all. The city was full of worshipers. There was no shortage of worship. It was just misdirected. It was uncertain. When Paul presents the gospel message in Athens, some believe and they follow. Some are interested. They want to hear him speak again. They want to learn more. And some sneered. Some didn't want to hear from him. The world really hasn't changed all that much. We're still building idols to everything under the sun, misdirected and uncertain. In a world that's misguided and misdirected, in a world that covers itself up, you need to reflect the light of God. That's your job. That's the purpose of your life, to be that little mini lighthouse in a world of darkness. When we were living in Toronto, we went to a restaurant called Au Noir. There's only two of them in Canada, I think. There's one in Toronto, and there's one in Montreal. And it's a completely pitch black restaurant. You first walk in, and it's very dimly lit, and they take you to this little lounge area, and they give you a menu, and you order your food there, and then it's time to go into the dining room. So the host or the hostess comes out, and you form a little train with your party. You put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, and the person in front is holding on to the shoulder of the host or the hostess. And here, the restaurant staff, the wait staff, they're entirely blind. And so the idea is that the diner gets to experience what it's like to be in their shoes. And so you go into this room and it's complete darkness. There's not a hint of light, not a whisper. And it's strange. It's kind of freaky. I mean, I didn't like it at first. I ended up at the wrong table and had to figure out how to get from the wrong table back with Sarah and our friends. And you're trying to figure out your bearings, right? Like, where's your water glass? Who's sitting beside me? Who's sitting across from me? Then after a little while, you get used to the darkness. The patrons dining are enjoying the experience so much, they're so into it, man, that you pity the fool who checks his light-up watch. And this, that little bit of light cuts through the darkness, and everybody roars at him, "Shut that off!" Except we were in Toronto, so they yell other things. A couple times it happened while we were there. Somebody would check their watch or try to be sneaky and check their cell phone, and they go yelled at. We don't want the light. We want the darkness. Au Noir is just a neat experience for a couple of hours, but I think it captures the world right now. The world wants the darkness, but it needs the light, and it needs the light that only Jesus can give. So you, as a follower of Christ, need to live your life in horizontal worship so that it reflects the light of Jesus. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Your true and proper worship, says it right here, is to live your life in a way that reflects the light of Jesus. Worship matters. Your horizontal worship, as you interact with the world, as you interact with others, Romans 12 calls it your true and proper worship. That is your job. That is your purpose. No matter the day of the week, whether you're at school or at work or you're just hanging around the neighborhood, you want true and proper worship? Then live your life so that it points others to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now, I have a little bit of a tangent that I want to go on, but it really is all connected. Now, I bet most of you didn't know that we have a sauna here at Byron Community Church. It doubles as the library. It's about 5,000 degrees in here right now. Now, here's my tangent. There's no question that the church as a whole in Canada is in decline. Decline in the sense that the number of people who identify as Christian and participate in a local church community, that's in decline. Big time. The fastest growing religious category in Canada are the folks that identify as non-religious. Vertical worship is important. Don't miss that point. And what we do when we come together as a community in worship matters. And we're going to talk about that next week. But I told you a few weeks ago that the entirety of Scripture can be summarized with love God and love others. Sounds an awful lot like horizontal and vertical worship to me. Now, the church in Canada, I'd argue, is in decline because it's neglected its horizontal worship. It has obsessed itself with getting the Sunday morning experience right. May mean obsessing over all the little things that we do on a Sunday morning. But it's put things out of balance. Generally speaking, the church as a whole in Canada has forgotten that its true and proper worship is to live the other 6 days in a week in a way that reflects the light and the love of Christ to the world. Putting together the best Sunday service that we can, that's important. We need to do our best. But as John said last week, as a community, we need to do community. We need to do community well. Collectively, as a community of Christ across the country, across denominational lines, we need to embrace our true and proper worship again. We need to reflect the light in the darkness. Most every church, whether it's on their sign or on their webpage, has the phrase, all are welcome. Stop in, the greeting is warm and the coffee is hot. And for many places it's true, and they try really, really hard to make that true. But folks, our communities have become accustomed to the dark. Just like me sitting in that Au Noir restaurant, they've gotten used to it. They're not coming here because we serve hot, terrible church coffee, and all church coffee is terrible. We need to go to them. May your life be a living sacrifice, that in all you say and do, you point them to Jesus. Remember a few weeks back, John talked about the mystery. The mystery and the whole point was Jesus. So when we talk about worship, the point isn't so much about where or how, but it's all about who. Do you recall Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4? That would be a really good chapter for you to go ahead and read through later today. I'm going to give you just a quick rundown. So it's just Jesus and this woman alone at the well. Very scandalous. And through the conversation, it becomes very obvious to the woman that Jesus is somebody special. In fact, she says, I can see that you're a great prophet. That's verse 19. But then she asks a big question in verse 20. She says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She's asking, where's the right place to worship? How do I do it? Who's right? Jesus' answer is huge. The worshipers that God wants are those that will worship him as their Father, in spirit and in truth, verse 23. Jesus says it's not about what mountain you're on. It's not about what church you're in. It's about whether or not you have a personal relationship with God. To worship in spirit and truth. Okay, well, what does that mean? To worship in spirit means that on the inside, we experience that new creation. We experience the life God gives by spiritual birth. And to worship in truth means that it's more than just words. It's more than just showing up because it's part of the routine. It's living an authentic life that points others to Jesus, a life that flows from the spiritual newness inside. When we view worship this way, it means that it's not about showing up at the right place to say the right things. Worship really, then, is a way of life. And for too long, people have cheated God, or they've tried to cheat God. They've said things, they've maybe said things, maybe even sang them beautifully, maybe have meant even every single word, but God's not honored through words alone. Maybe you showed up one Sunday, or you were scrolling through YouTube worship songs, and you sang your heart out. Maybe you sang that God was your all in all, a great song. But while you may mean the words when you sing them, does your life back it up? Does your life, do your actions authenticate it? Does your time trail show God that he's your all in all? Or is God left wondering why you sing the words, but then live your life in a way that seems to indicate that you are pursuing other things more than God? The true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. That's your true and proper worship. Look at Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's all about the who. True worship requires that you have a personal relationship with God. The true test of worship is how you live and who you live for. Now, if you've been zoning in and out, it's time to dial in. We got to boil this whole thing down and get to our application. But I am melting, so I'm going to take a drink. We're going to get to our application. What does all of this mean? Well, if you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus, then everything you do other than sin, literally almost everything you can do, can be done as an act of worship if you do it for God. That's the key. You can do a lot of religious-y things. You could lead worship music. You can even preach. You could do all sorts of things. But if you're not doing it for God, then it's not worship. If what you do is for God, and if as you do it you can reflect God's love and God's glory, then everything you do is worship. That's how you offer your life as a living sacrifice. When you look at things this way, I think it's kind of neat, but it also amplifies what it means when we mess up, when we sin, because that's the only thing that can't be done as worship. Sin's the only thing that can't be done in a way that reflects God, because when we sin, we're saying and we're showing the world that God's not enough in this particular area. Everything else we do can be turned into an act of worship if we do it for God and do it in a way that reflects God's character. The way you do your work and go about your business, whether you're a student at school or in the office, can and should be a form of worship. The way you serve people at the drive-thru window, or mop floors, or empty the trash cans, how you use and manage your money, how you raise your kids, how you volunteer your time, all of it can and should be worship. It's not about what you do, it's all about who you do it for. So in all that you do, and all that you say, do it in a way that reflects God's love and character to those around you. Be that little lighthouse. That's your true and proper worship, and that's ultimately the purpose of your life. People at the Au Noir restaurant sitting in darkness, they were not pleased when that little bit of light cut through the dining room. When Paul preached in Athens, some sneered. They did not appreciate him coming in and preaching to them. As you reflect God's light, you might encounter a little bit of that too, but it's your purpose. That's your true and proper worship. Be that little lighthouse. Stick with it. Now, some of you might be listening or watching, and you may not be able to say that, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yes, I follow Jesus. And that's okay. We're glad that you're watching. By the way, if you have any questions or if there's anything that we can do to help you with that journey, please get in touch. You can call us at the church office or fill out the contact form on the church webpage. But let me give you a couple of applications as well. Now, to offer your life as a living sacrifice, to reflect God's character in all that you do, it means that you need to get to know God. To reflect God's character, you need to know God's character. But the good news is, if you pursue God, God will pursue you. If you search for God, you will find God. If you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. So may I suggest that the best place to start is to simply to talk to God. There's no fancy way to do it. Just talk. Say, God, I want to know you. Start there. Then your next step is going to be to carve out some regular, consistent time to spend with God. Explore the scriptures, listen to sermons, read good quality Christian books. That's how you're going to get to know God. And then you need to find a community of Christ followers. That might be a local church. That might be a little bit hard to do right now, but fortunately, there's lots of little mini lighthouses out there. So maybe there's a Christian at your work. Maybe there's a Christian that lives down the street. Connect with them. They'll help you. Now, as we conclude our time together, I want to give you just a few questions that I want you to think about today. Maybe think about it throughout the week. This is a little bit of homework. Now, maybe you even want to write your answers down to these, okay? This is for everybody in youth group. Pay attention. These are the last three questions I didn't write down. Question one, what motivates you to want to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God? Two, when have you been the most excited about God's character? What has God's character, or when has God's character made you jump out of your seat like a fan at a hockey game? And finally, in what locations and in what situations do you find it most difficult to live in a way that reflects God to others? And how can you address those situations? So there you have it, horizontal worship. As we start a new week, as we get closer to starting a new month, may you go out into the world, and in all that you say and all that you do, may you do it for God. And may you do it in a way that reflects God's love and God's glory and the hope we have in Jesus. Amen.
Well, I'm sure you'll want to join with me in thanking Josh for that inspiring and challenging sermon. I hope you caught it. Everything we do apart from sin can be an act of worship. But everyone worships, and Josh asked the question, who or what is the object of our worship? So I hope that you're thinking a lot about the questions that Josh asked at the end of the sermon, as he gave us that presentation on horizontal worship. I hope that stimulated in you an interest for next week when Josh looks at vertical worship. I want to be brief this morning in closing off the service, but thought it would be appropriate to read a card that came in. This is from Jim and Marie Kalkoff. It is addressed to Dear Byron Community Church, so that's you. We can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate the love and concern we have felt from you, dear people. So evident by Pastor John's calls, lovely cards received, shopping trips, and then this past Tuesday, a beautiful bouquet of flowers arrived at our condo from Byron Community Church. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are confident God is hearing and answering your prayers. He will walk with us during this difficult time. And they have referenced Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. He is our rock and our salvation. So will you please continue to pray for Jim and Marie during this difficult time dealing with the bone cancer? There's others who have some health concerns and need our prayers, and we really would invite you to keep praying for one another. During this difficult time of COVID-19, and we've talked about how frustrating it's been and really trying on our patience, but we do want to thank you for your generous giving during this time. The bills have been paid, the obligations have been met, and it really has been wonderful to see how God has worked in and through his people to look after our practical needs. And we appreciate your ongoing support of Byron Community Church in that way. Now, some of you have indicated that you would like some of your offering to go to helping hurting families. You may or may not know, but Ron Burns and we administer this program. And so if you have a need, or if you're aware of someone in the congregation who has a practical need at this time, would you please contact either Ron or myself? We will talk together and look at ways that we can offer the appropriate help. I'd like now to invite you to pray as we go to the Lord and ask Him for His help and offer our worship to Him through this prayer. Father, we thank You for the sermon we heard today. A lot of questions and very challenging. And may we continue to reflect on and think on what Josh presented to us today. Oh, Father, we thank You that we weren't left with a narrow or a dull view of worship, but an all-encompassing view of worship that takes in all of life. Oh, Father, what a privilege to be a worshiper of the one and true God through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for this note from Jim and Marie Kolkoff. We ask that You would continue to be there for them, and we want to continue to plea with You on Jim's behalf. Oh God, we even are as bold to pray for healing. Father, I know there's some others who are dealing with health difficulties. Some are dealing with financial concerns. Oh God, during this very difficult pandemic, God, we ask for Your help. Father, for those of us who are frustrated, we've lost our patience. Oh God, we pray that You will give us a spirit of endurance and help us as we wait to see things get back to some sense of normal. And God, as we pray from week to week, we ask that You would be there for the doctors, nurses, and other caregivers. I pray, God, especially for those who are in the nursing homes. Pray for the dear seniors who have been impacted very dramatically. Oh God, we thank You that we have the privilege of still gathering in this way. We know that there are many who are asking what's next, what it will look like. God, I pray as leaders that we would be discerning, that we would be cautious, that we would be in compliance with what government officials are asking of us. But, oh God, You know our longing is to get back together. So, Father, again, we present these requests to You because we come to You in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.